Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. O Lord, persons who because of their serious attitude attain the stage of enlightened devotional service achieve the complete meaning of renunciation and knowledge and attain the Vaikuntha Loka in the spiritual sky simply by drinking the nectar of your topics. Purport. The difference between the impersonalistic mental speculators and the pure devotees of the Lord is that the former pass through a miserable understanding of the absolute truth at every stage, whereas the devotees enter into the kingdom of all pleasures even from the beginning of their attempt. The devotee has only to hear about devotional activities, which are as simple as anything in ordinary life. And he also acts very simply, whereas the mental speculator has to pass through a jugglery of words, which are partially facts and partially a make-show for the maintenance of an artificial impersonal status. In spite of his strenuous efforts to attain perfect knowledge, the impersonalist attains merging into the impersonal oneness of the Brahma Jyoti of the Lord, which is also attained by the enemies of the Lord simply because of their being killed by him. The devotees, however, attain to the highest stage of knowledge and renunciation and achieve the Vaikuntha Lokas, the planets in the spiritual sky. The impersonalist attains only the sky and does not achieve any tangible transcendental bliss, whereas the devotee attains to the planets where real spiritual life prevails. With a serious attitude, the devotee throws away all achievements like so much dust, and he accepts only devotional service, the transcendental culmination. Om Adnyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namam Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are continuing our discussion of third canto, chapter 5, which is a conversation between Vidura and Maitreya. And these two verses, this one here, can we go back to the Sanskrit text? And the next verse, they describe, so this particular conversation is the prayers of the demigods. Prayers of the demigods to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the demigods are praying in this verse and the next verse, comparing the devotees with those who are on the path of knowledge, those especially who are Brahmavadis. Actually, there's a difference between Brahmavadis and Brahma, difference between the Brahmavadis and Mayavadis. Do we know what the difference is? Yes. They are more envious. So it's different gradations of envy. Yeah. What is the fundamental difference? Yes, David. I couldn't hear you. Oh, they reject the personal form of the Lord.
No, the Brahmavadis do not reject the personal form of the Lord.
Correct. Brahmavadis don't reject the personal form of the Lord. Mayavadis do. What else? There is one other significant difference. Yes. Yeah, the Brahmavadis, they say the impersonal form is superior to the personal form. There's one more. Yes. Mm-hmm.
After smelling the tulsi leaves, they were able to become devotees. Whereas, because they're on that Brahmavadi platform, but Mayavadi, they smell the leaves, they won't become a devotee.
Yeah, well, yes and no. It depends on how much mercy the Lord is willing to give them. Prakashananda Saraswati was a Mayavadi. And simply by his approaching the Lord and asking him, why are you sitting in this filthy place? He gave him a hand and he said, please stand up and come and join us. That was his devotional service. And the Lord gave him mercy and he became a devotee. So Mayavadis can become devotees. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Desha Tarine. Prabhupada comments, Nirvishesha Mayavadis. Tarine. He delivered Mayavadis. Yeah, but Brahmavadis, they accept Jivatma. Mayavadis don't. Mayavadis don't think that there is a Jivatma. Jivatma is simply an imagination. Soul is simply an imagination. Actually, you are Brahman, according to Mayavadis. According to Brahmavadis, we are individual souls, but the goal is to merge into the impersonal Brahman. So many examples of Brahmavadis are there in the Bhagavatam. Shukdev Goswami was a Brahmavadi. When he appeared from the womb of his mother, he marched towards the forest. Vyasadev, putreti tanmayataya taravo bhineduhu. He's shouting, putra, putra, my son, my son. And he vanishes in the woods, in the thick woods. Because he thinks anything to do with my parents and anything to do with this world is simply going to entangle me. And then Vyasadeva, of course, he sends some forest dwellers who were passing by. He sends those forest dwellers with two verses. We know those two verses? Hmm? He gives them two verses, yes. It isn't that one. It's about the beauty of Krishna and the mercy of Krishna. Ah, yes. Panchatattva Prabhu, go on, you said it right, it's correct. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam. About the mercy of Krishna. And the other one is? Barha pidam natavara vapuhu karnayo karnikaram. And he, by these two verses, hearing about the beauty of Krishna and about the mercy of Krishna, Shukdev Goswami finds out. So, Vyasadev tells them, please sing these two songs as you go in the woods. They sing the song. Shukdev Goswami somehow hears and he gets attracted to them and asks them, where did you learn this from? They say, from one sage who lives in the ashram. So go and see him. And that's his father. And then, of course, Vyasadev teaches him Srimad Bhagavatam. We also, somebody mentioned the four Kumaras, Panchatattva Prabhu mentioned. Many other examples are there. Saubari Muni, he was an impersonalist. Durvasa Muni was an impersonalist. Until he was chased by Sudarshan Chakra. And after being chased by Sudarshan Chakra, he realized that the Lord is personally protecting his devotee. So like that. This particular verse, Jiva Goswami comments in his Krama Sandarbha, Tat kathayam satyam tu parama phala praptim kramat ahu pane neti. Kramat ahu. In this verse, the steps are given of how a devotee, simply by hearing the katha of the Lord, attains the supreme abode. Simply by hearing the katha. Steps. What are the steps? This is the only verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, the only verse where these steps are mentioned. in this particular order. So there are five steps, and the sixth step is attaining the abode of the Lord. First step, panena. Panena means drinking. The root pa, it's found in all Indo-European languages, including the Eastern European, Slavic languages, English. We have the English word potable, P-O-T-A-B-L-E. Potable means drinkable. Or even the English word potion, or even poison for that matter. The po, P-O, is from Sanskrit pa, which means to drink. That's the first word here, panena, which means, in Hindi we all know pani. Pani is water. That's which is drinkable. So katha of the Lord, panena. First step, by drinking the katha of the Lord. So it is something that has to be drunk. Why is it something that has to be drunk? It is not something that has to be analyzed with the mind. It is not something that has to be seen and proved. You know, you actually see something and arrive at a conclusion. It is something that has to be drunk. How do you drink? With the mouth. Drinking of this katha of the Lord is done through a different organ. So we'll see that. But the first step is panena, which means hearing. What happens when one hears the katha of the Lord? Panena deva. It's too humble. The stand is too humble. It's bowing down all the time. So, panena te katha sudhaya. Deva, O Deva, O Lord, your katha sudha. Katha is the pastimes of the Lord, katha of the Lord. Sudha, sudha means the nectar, the nectarian pastimes of the Lord. They are nectarian because they have the power to help us get rid of our material existence. Because amrita, mrita means to die, amrita means to not die. Mrita also is in English mortal. Mortal means mrita. Amrita means immortal or going to the transcendental abode. So this sudha has that effect. It can take you to the transcendental abode. First step, drink with your ears. Second step, pravriddha bhaktya. When you drink enough katha sudha, what happens? In the heart, bhakti becomes pravriddha. Pravriddha means very, very old. It becomes established. Initially, when one hears about the Lord, there is some attraction, superficial. But when one sufficiently hears, sincerely, Prabhupada says in the translation, when one sincerely hears, I can see some of you are dozing off. You had a long day already, it seems. When Srila Prabhupada was in Chicago and he saw some devotees were dozing off while he was giving Srimad Bhagavatam class. And then he continued as if nothing happened. And then many, many devotees were starting to doze off. So Prabhupada paused and still they were in their own blissful world. Prabhupada immediately said, just see, they are deeply meditating on our message. So if that's what you're doing, that's wonderful. Please continue. Panena. First, drinking. Then, the bhakti which is little becomes pravriddha. Pravriddha means it becomes thick, old. Vriddha means old. Pravriddha means very old. Here the meaning is very dense, very deep, very mature. One who is old is mature. Your bhakti becomes mature by hearing. One who does not hear, bhakti does not become mature. panena pravruddha bhaktya. Then, when bhakti becomes mature, the effect is vishada ashaya. When the heart, the space in the heart is fully occupied by thoughts of devotional service, then there is no room slowly for other things. Asha means hopes, desires. We have in our lives lots of hopes, lots of desires, and in fact we also have a lot of guilts, we also have a lot of regrets. I regret having not done this. All of these are because bhakti is not pravruddha. If bhakti has become pravruddha, then there is vishada ashaya. All the asha has become completely purified. So the only thoughts that remain through that association with the devotees, the association with the shastra, hearing from great souls, slowly your heart becomes fully purified. In January 1971, a young photographer met Srila Prabhupada in Colaba, Bombay, in the Sea Palace Hotel, and there was a nice conversation between them. Of course, Srila Prabhupada asked him, he showed some magazine, and then after that he showed the photographs he had taken, Krishna conscious photographs in that magazine, and then Srila Prabhupada asked him, "So, are you having some attraction for our association?" And he immediately said, "Yes, I'm feeling the effect of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra." Because in association of devotees, in association of the Maha Mantra, immediately there was a transformation in the heart of this gentleman, this photographer. And then the conversation went on, and this photographer, he said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, many other societies, they make compromises. They are making so many compromises with their philosophy." And Srila Prabhupada said simply, "Yes, because they have no clear idea, so they cannot push their concept. We have clear understanding of God." And then Prabhupada had a long conversation with this devotee. And this devotee is with us today, well, in the movement, but also literally he is here, His Grace Yadavara Prabhu. There was the conversation. So we see how Prabhupada asked, am I right, Prabhu? He asked, "Are you having some attraction for our association?" That was the question Prabhupada asked. And Prabhu said immediately, "Yes, I'm feeling the effect of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra." This is pravruddha bhaktya, vishada ashaya. Other ashayas slowly melt away. These other regrets and negativities and falsehoods and misconceptions melt away. Just like when there is fire, ghee melts away. This is the example given by our acharyas. When that has melted away, there is a natural vairagya. So next step is vairagya saram. Now why does it say vairagya saram? The essence of vairagya. It doesn't say vairagya. It doesn't say one becomes completely renounced, does not look at anyone, does not talk to anyone. Mauni Baba. One Mauni Baba came to see Prabhupada in Mayapur. He's a Mauni Baba. Mauni means he doesn't speak anything. He came in front of Prabhupada, he's just sitting. So Prabhupada looked at him and Prabhupada said, "So, are you being fed well?" He was sadhu. He's a sadhu. So Prabhupada asked him, He just did this. The Prabhupada tried to speak to him, but he was not reacting. So Prabhupada said, "Do you follow English?" He said, "Yes," like this. And then Prabhupada said, "Better open your mouth and glorify Krishna than remain silent in nonsense." That guy paid obeisances and left. Because we don't have that kind of vairagya. Our vairagya is like the Zen master's vairagya. They say, what is the sound of one hand clapping? You can't clap with one hand. So all contradictory things become reconciled in our vairagya. Can you speak and yet not speak? This is very Zen-like, right? But the reality is, devotees do exactly that. Because they only speak about Krishna. So actually, Prabhupada said, they speak, but they don't speak. In the normal understanding of the word speaking, you are speaking so much nonsense. Devotees only speak of Krishna. So our vairagya is yukta vairagya. So this verse says, slowly when consciousness is purified, vishadashaye, then vairagya saram. The essence of vairagya, which is yukta vairagya, establishes within the heart of the devotee. And yukta vairagya does not mean, I will accept everything that is favorable for my service. We accept everything that is favorable for Krishna's service. Yeah. We know, I've mentioned this before, when Prabhupada was in Germany on the morning walk, and then suddenly Prabhupada sees a nice skyscraper. He says, yes, this is a beautiful building. We can use it in Krishna's service. And all the followers, they say, yes, Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada marches forward and there's a beautiful bed of flowers. And Prabhupada picks one flower and says, this is a beautiful flower. We can use it in Krishna's service. Yes, Prabhupada. And then a large Alsatian German shepherd dog comes running to Prabhupada. Woof, woof. And Prabhupada puts his stick and says, hut! And the dog, with his tail between his legs, he just runs away. And Prabhupada says to a devotee, such a nice dog. We can use him in Krishna's service. And everyone there says, yes, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada stops, looks at them and says, and how do you propose to do that? So, yukta vairagya means you have to use intelligence, not some blind, everything I will use in Krishna's service. No. Some intelligence have to be applied. Here, once that is done, what is the final goal? Pratilabhya bodham. Pratilabhya bodham means one can directly experience God. One can directly experience Krishna. In 1970 in Boston, Srila Prabhupada was being questioned by one impersonalist, one Brahmavadi, Mayavadi. He was asking Prabhupada, so you claim to know God, you claim that God is a person. What is the address of God? Where does he live? What is the address of God? Srila Prabhupada said, yes, you can find God in your heart if you are sincere. That is the address of God. Prabhupada, you could not beat Prabhupada. So God's address, Prabhupada gave the address also directly to this man. Yeah. This process of katha, the last line says, what is this process like? Yatha anjasa. Anjasa means very simple, very easy, very direct. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, this is just a very simple process. Like you do any other ordinary thing. If you read the purport, he says, like you do any other ordinary thing. You have to simply somehow sit in the katha of the Lord and sincerely hear the katha. And it will have this effect gradually. Our disease is that we are not attracted to the katha of the Lord. If one is attracted, then, last step, akuntha dishnyam. Akuntha means where there is no kuntha. Kuntha means anxiety. where there is, that is Vaikuntha, that is Goloka. Once in Los Angeles, 1969, Srila Prabhupada was in a room with some scientific-minded people, and they were all talking about the, you know, advances in space age and advances in space science, technology. So they were saying, Swamiji, we have now advanced so much we can go to the moon. The spacecrafts are possible, you know, in the future maybe we'll even go to the sun, and all kinds of things they are saying. Prabhupada heard them and then he said, why go to the moon? Why waste time? Simply chant Hare Krishna and go to Goloka. So, this is the last point here. Yatha anjasa annu iyuhu. Iyuhu means they will achieve. Anu, simply by following. Yatha anjasa, this process of, simple process of hearing katha, akunta dishnyam, one can attain Goloka. Why waste time with anything else, as Prabhupada said? This is the gist of this particular verse. There are many things that I thought I would speak about, but time is short. So, we'll conclude in a few words. Of course, this katha has to be heard, has to be drunk by the ears. Pibantiye bhagavatatmanas satam, satam, sambhrutam, satam sambhrutam. Second canto, second chapter, verse 37. Satam sambhrutam. This katha is collected by those who are pure devotees. Please understand, if katha is heard from the mouth of someone who is really attached to the Lord, that katha has very deep impact in the heart, core of the heart. So here, pibanti ye, those who are drinking this katha, how do you drink the katha? Katha amritam shravana puteshu, through the holes of the ears. These are like the cups, the ears are like the cups in which you take the amrita, and from these cups there is a hole which goes straight into the heart and purifies the heart. Punantite vishaya vidushitasham. Then, what produces this katha? When you say juice, you have in the kitchen there is a juice maker, a juicer. Today the Lord is dressed in saffron. Also this morning I was looking at the Radha Damodar deities. He's also dressed in saffron today. Saffron, of course, is the Lord's favorite color because he's reminded of Srimati Radharani, who is golden in complexion. Anyway, so how is this katha produced? This liquid juice of katha produced? How is it produced? A juice has to be extracted, isn't it? A juice has to be extracted. Do you agree? If I give you some mangoes, even though they are juicy, you'll have to extract. Apple, you'd have to extract the juice. So what extracts the juice? Bhagavatam says, actually, Bhagavad Gita says, how the juice of katha is extracted. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam. Parasparam, when two things having friction, there is fire. When you put a mango in between two stones, it will crush the mango and produce juice. Similarly, parasparam, when there are two individuals. Kathayantascha mam nityam. Kathayantas. When parasparam kathayantas, when two individuals, One becomes a listener, another becomes a speaker. Then they reverse the role. One becomes the other becomes listener, the first one becomes speaker. Like that, they reverse the roles. This paraspara katha of the Lord produces this nectar. Actually, there are four beings who are always, they are quadruplets. You know, like we have twins and triplets, there are quadruplets born from Brahma. They are all look alike. Quadruplets. The four Kumaras. They are only 5 years old. And because they don't want to associate with anyone, they travel alone everywhere. But they are, in Padma Puran it says, they are constantly chanting Hari Sharanam, Hari Sharanam, Hari Sharanam. Surrender to Hari, surrender to Hari, surrender to Hari. And they are constantly doing Katha of the Lord. But then one might wonder, well, there is no audience. So who are they doing Katha with? So Padma Puran explains, four of them, three of them sit and one speaks. Then after some time he sits down, the other one comes up and he speaks. Then they constantly do this between the four of them. So they are in bliss. So the formula for bliss is it takes two to tango, right? The formula for bliss is very simple. Two devotees of the Lord coming together and doing Harikatha. This is Sudha, this is Amrita, this is bliss, Ananda. Finally, what is the nature of this Katha? We heard how Katha is produced. We heard how Katha has to be drunk. We heard what is the process of transformation when we hear the Katha of the Lord from this verse. It starts with drinking, panena, then pravruddha bhakti, then vishada ashaya, then vairagya sara, then pratilabhya bodha, and then finally akunta dishnya. These are the five steps leading to the sixth, which is akunta dishnyam. So we heard this, but now question is, what is the nature of this thing, katha? What is the hidden nature of this katha? Why is it so mesmerizing, Krishna katha? There is one verse in Bhagavatam. I don't know how much deeper or detailed we can go, but it's a beautiful verse. In third canto, chapter 21, verse number 17, Kardama Muni is speaking to, he is actually praying to Lord Vishnu. And in his prayer, he says, those who are devotees of the Lord, listen carefully. Those who are devotees of the Lord, they have complete disregard for the world and worldly matters. But the words he uses are very, very interesting. He says, Lokamscha Lokanugatan Pashumscha. So Lokan means people. Lokanugata Pashun means, and the animals who follow these people. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, he writes, Pashutvam Bhakti Rahitvat. Because people don't have bhakti, they are simply like animals. We know in Hitopadesh it says, four things are common between humans and animals. What are the four things? Ahara, eating, nidra, sleeping, bhaya, defending, and maithuna, sex life. These four are common between man and animals. The only difference is dharma. Dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesho. And then dharmena hina pashubhir samana. So here, lokanugatan pashumscha. So those who follow worldly ways are simply animals. But the next line is very, very important. Please wake up and listen carefully. Hitva shritaste charanata patram. They take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Atapatram. Atapatram means the umbrella. The umbrella, huge umbrellas that shield one from the scorching heat of the sun. Has anyone been to Kashi? Kashi is Varanasi. Varanasi, anyone's been to Varanasi, Ganga Ghat in Varanasi? So Yadubar Prabhu would remember there are huge umbrellas on the beach, on not the beach, but the shores of Ganga. So these huge umbrellas, they are known as Atapatra. They shield you from the Tapa. Tapa meaning the scorching heat of the sun. Here the word used is, the lotus feet of the Lord are like Atapatra. They are like these huge umbrellas that shield one from the scorching rays of this samsara. And so it is very natural for devotees and even for non-devotees to take shelter of these huge umbrellas of the Lord. What is this nature of katha? Now here is something very, very, very interesting. The only verse in Bhagavatam which defines katha in this way. It says, parasparam tvad gunavada sidhu. When devotees speak katha with each other, the rasa that is produced, the juice that is produced of katha, it has two qualities. It is sidhu. Sidhu means intoxicant. Katha here is defined as an intoxicant. And the next line is Piyusha Nirya Pitadeha Dharma. It is Sidhu and it is Piyusha. Piyusha means nectar. Both. Sidhu means intoxicant and Piyusha means nectar. Now my question to you all is, why is katha, the quality of katha, defined as intoxicating? Sidhu. Anyone? Yes.
Intoxication means losing consciousness.
Okay.
And so if you're hearing Krishna katha, that intoxication will help you to lose material consciousness.
Yes. Yes, very good. You speak like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has defined samsara vismarakatvat sidhu. Because one forgets. When one is intoxicated, what happens? One forgets this world, right? We have practical experience. I was staying in Soho Street many years back, 2006 or some, almost 18 years ago. And early in the morning, I thought I'll go out because it was a nice day, summer. I'd go out for Sunday morning. I'd go out on a short walk around Soho. There's a nice park, small park. So I stepped out and I thought the man was trying to come in. So I waved at him and I said, no, no, temple is not open. But he was in his own world. And then, as I was trying to open the door, this is for real, he dropped his pants and he started to urinate on the door of the temple. I said, stop, stop, stop. I'll take you to a better place, not here. He's so much out of his consciousness, drunk from the next door pub. Whole night maybe he was drinking. He did not know where he was. He wanted to urinate on the door of the temple. I pulled his pants up and I took him to the park. I was wondering if I take him to the temple, second floor, maybe the whole, then I have to wipe the whole thing. So I said, I will take you to the park. You feed the plants, do some good karma. So he went to the park and he did his job. And I said, please sit down here next to me. And he said, yes, thank you for taking me to the toilet. I said, yeah, yeah, okay, no problem. Sit with me. Then I said, now chant with me. And I was chanting. I only chanted almost one round. But with him, I was sitting, chanting the whole round, one bead at a time. He was chanting with me. So drunk means you've forgotten this world completely. Katha of the Lord, not here, sorry. Katha of the Lord, 321:17, is Sidhu. Sidhu means intoxicating, because one who is drowning in the katha of the Lord forgets this material world. So, this is why materialistic people, they get drunk. Prabhupada says, because they want to artificially forget the pain of this world. We also get drunk. Devotees also get drunk. And that is how we can also forget the pain of this samsara. But we get drunk by the katha of the Lord. Sidhu, the only place in Srimad Bhagavatam where katha of the Lord is mentioned as an intoxicant. The next word is piyusha. Piyusha means, and it is nectar. It is intoxicating nectar. Why is it nectar? Nectar means amrita, correct? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it's nectar because ati svadutvat. It is very sweet to taste, this katha. So it is nectar. Cha, and mrityu duri karatvat. Because it gets rid of mrityu, so it is amrita, so it is nectar. Because it will raise you to a transcendental platform and you will not come back to this material world, so it is nectar. So this intoxicating nectar, that is the nature of this katha of the Lord. Of course, a direct, you know, now we know katha is both sidhu, which is intoxicating, and it is piyusha or amrita, which is nectar. Now, in this verse, both are mentioned together. There is a great group of devotees who actually split these two and explain each one individually. That is also in Bhagavatam. I will not have time for that, but I will give you the verse number. 10th canto, chapter 31, verse number 8, which describes the sidhu, the intoxicating effect of katha. The gopis, they are in separation mentioning madhuraya gira valgu vakyaya buddha manodnaya pushkarekshana vidhikaririma viramuyatir adhara sidhuna adhara sidhuna pyayasvana. This is, they are comparing the Lord's lotus lips as the source of this intoxicating nectar. From his lips, what comes out? Valgu vyavakyaya. Such sweet and charming words. He is a natural charmer, Krishna. And the gopis glorify his sweet and nectarian charming words. So, the next verse which His Holiness Bhakti Charuswami Maharaj would chant very sweetly. Actually, Bhakti Charu. Charu means sweet. And he was personally very sweet. In every sense, he was sweet. Akhilam Madhuram, they say about Krishna. But Krishna's devotees are also Akhilam Madhuram. Bhakti Charu Maharaj was one of them. So the next verse, 10:31:9, Tava kathamritam tapta jivanam kavi biriditam kalmashapaham shravana mangalam shri madatatam bhuvi grinantiye bhuridajana. Here is a secret commentary which is, I'm going to amalgamate what Jiva Goswami has said, what Vijaya Dvaja from Madhva Sampradaya has said, along with what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. Please listen carefully, especially those who are Sankirtan devotees. Tava katha amritam. This amrita of your katha. In the previous verse, the gopis used the word sidhu. Intoxicating. Here they are using katha amritam. Amrita is nectar. I told you the only one verse uses both words together. Now, the gopis are splitting it. No time for the first part, Sidhu. But we will go through the Tava Katha Amritam. Katha Amrita. Your Katha is like a Amrita. Amrita literally means makes the dead people alive. We are dying in separation from you. And by your Katha, we are becoming enlivened. Tapta Jeevanam. Especially for those who are living a miserable life. Jeevanam, life, tapta means burning, scorching, miserable. So for those who are out on books, those who are doing Harinam Sankirtan, this is exactly what they are doing. They are distributing the Katha Amrita, which will help the tapta jivana of the people receiving it. And this Katha of the Lord, Kavi Bhir Iditam. Kavis are great devotees. One of the 26 qualities of a devotee is they are Kavi, they are a poet. Prabhupada was also a poet. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was also a poet. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was also a poet. All poets. So we are a generation, a lineage of poets. Kavibhir Iditam means glorified by the Kavis. The great devotees of the Lord have glorified this Katha Amrita. Kalmasha Apaham. Kalmasha. The power of this Katha is, see, moksha can only take away your aprarabdha karma, kuta, bija, that's it. But this Katha of the Lord can completely destroy your aprarabdha, kuta, bija and prarabdha karma as well. So kalmasha apaham, it takes away all the kalmasha. Shravana mangalam. Simply by hearing, one attains attraction for Krishna, which is the mangalam, which is the auspicious thing. What happens when one hears katha? One becomes attracted. Like a drunkard when he hears about Guinness. I remember my time in Ireland, in Dublin. I was on work. Everyone, the only place in the world I have been, where even during the lunch break afternoon, they drink alcohol. Everyone, the whole gang goes, drinks. So much drinking. Just the word Guinness makes them transform their bodily limbs. So for devotees, this katha is intoxicating. This katha does that. Shravana mangalam. It immediately develops love for Krishna. Attraction for Krishna. Shri madatatam. And it is broadcasted by the devotees. Atatam means broadcast. Sankirtan means to broadcast. Prabhupada once said, Sankirtan means to broadcast. And then Prabhupada also said, my Guru Maharaj called Mridanga as Bruhad Mridanga. We all know that. Sorry, not Mridanga. Book says Bruhad Mridanga. Because Mridanga can only be heard in a certain periphery. But this is loud Mridanga, which can go everywhere, books. Now in the internet age, we can also use internet and other means. Bhuvi grinantiye bhuri da jana. This Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur directly says, Bhuvi grinanti, on earth, one who spreads Sankirtan. Directly in his commentary he says, bhuri da jana. They are the most magnanimous. So the Sankirtan devotees of the Lord are the most magnanimous. This is from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. Bhuvi grinantiye bhuri dajana. So when we spread Krishna consciousness, even in his very last days, one of the last conversations Prabhupada had, he asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj, will my disciples be able to push on this movement? Prabhupada's, these words were very favorite. push on. Even in his conversation with the Yadavar Prabhu, he replied when Yadavar Prabhu said, Prabhupada, other people, other societies, they are making compromises. Prabhupada said, yes, because they have no clear understanding. And then they said, he said, therefore they cannot push on their concept. So Prabhupada's, these words are very, very important. Push on. And the last day, Prabhupada asked, in fact, the very last day he asked, will Tamal Krishna Maharaj, will the disciples push on this movement? And they all said yes. Tamal Krishna Maharaj said yes. And in reply, Prabhupada asked, how? Do you know the answer? And everyone gave different answers. But Prabhupada then gave his answer. Does anyone know his answer? How the movement will push on? Yes. Intelligence and, he didn't say cooperation. He said something else. Yes. Huh? Yes. Intelligence and organization. Through this, the movement will push on. So when we do Sankirtan, we do it intelligently. We don't burn out the person that we are trying to give Krishna Katha and books. And we do it in a nice, organized fashion. Everything, you can apply these two in everything. Temple management, prasadam distribution, Sankirtan. So Prabhupada said, this is how the movement will push on. Intelligence and organization. So, this beautiful verse, in summary, tells us the steps, starting by hearing how we can attain Goloka Vrindavan. Akunta Dishnyam. Panena, by hearing. Last word, Akunta Dishnyam. Thank you very much. I'll take one question. I've got two more minutes. I'll take one question. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, some of us on this side are wondering, where is the intoxication, where is the pleasure, the happiness in Krishna consciousness, in Krishna Katha, and even in the purport, Prabhupada is saying, one will enter into the kingdom of pleasure even at the beginning stages. And we find that quite opposite. In the beginning stages is difficult and we're promised at the end. And this is how also mode of goodness is described. In the beginning is going to be tough, you've got to work at it, and then the pleasure will come. So yeah, and then also you were mentioning a few times devotees are sleeping in class. So where is that pleasure, where is that intoxication if you're meant to experience it at the beginning stages?
Very nice. I think the mic wasn't working properly, but Paramakaruna Prabhu asked the question that where is this, if the nature of this katha is intoxicating and so attractive, and as Prabhupada also mentions in the purport, where is this, why is it not experienced that way? And then he said, in the mode of goodness, that which is not appealing at the beginning, but which is giving the ultimate benefit at the end, is in the mode of goodness. So he said, we are not experiencing that, especially in the beginning stages and even otherwise. Right? So the question was, why is that? Is the question. Srila Prabhupada was asked this question by Steve. Steve, who later on became His Holiness Satswarup Das Goswami. He asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we are trying to follow your instruction. We are finding it tough. Especially, you know, reading, chanting 16 rounds. It's not actually very attractive. In fact, the most unattractive thing is that you're asking us to follow the four regulative principles. I mean, we can manage the three, but no illicit sex, this is impossible. Maybe you should change your principles. And only, you know, by doing that, you will attract many, many people. And Prabhupada replies, in the Shastra, there are no different rules for the Americans. Prabhupada gives this kind of reply. Then Prabhupada says, in answer to his first question, why is it not appealing? Prabhupada said, we know mode of passion is very attractive in the beginning but miserable at the end. Mode of goodness is the opposite. But that which is transcendental is anandam buddhivardhanam pratipadam. At every step, at the first step, at the second step, and on, pratipadam, at every step, ananda ambudhi vardhanam, the ananda only increases. So, mode of goodness, because Krishna Katha is not even the mode of goodness. So, at every step, it increases. This is an explanation Prabhupada gives in one of the conversations he has in Canada. In Canada, yeah. This is the explanation he gives, that transcendental bliss ever increases by hearing the Katha of the Lord. In answer to the question, why do we not immediately experience it? Prabhupada explains in another time, another place, that it is just like one who is overburdened with a huge weight that they are carrying. Even though the weight is now being reduced, little by little, imagine you're carrying 50, 60 kilos in your head, on your head, and I take 5 grams off, 10 grams off, one may not feel anything at the beginning stage. But when one sufficiently absorbed, now, we do not know how much weight, karmic weight and background and baggage any individual in this world carries. For some who are very lightweighted, they feel bliss immediately. And they are in bliss all the time. We know even amongst modern ISKCON gurus, there are so many who hitchhike the whole world just to find that bliss, and when they found it, they were just, that's it, they were blissful. We know Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Tamal Krishna Maharaj protested, Prabhupada, he's just a young Bengali boy. He's met you now. This was in January, 13th of January 1977 in Kumbh Mela in Prayagraj, Allahabad. That's when Bhakti Charu Maharaj met Prabhupada for the first time, and Prabhupada already engaged him in translating his books to Bengali, and then engaged him in serving him, and then engaged him in cooking for him, and like we know the whole thing. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj protested, there are so many more qualified devotees. Prabhupada, he's just, we don't even know much about him. And I heard this from Tamal Krishna Maharaj's mouth in 1995 in Juhu. He said, when I told this to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said to me, he is an eternal servant of Lord Chaitanya. You are unable to see it, but I see it. So, Prabhupada as a guru could see various devotees at various levels. And the analogy he gave was, if you have a huge load on your back, Katha of the Lord will from day one start reducing that load. But the burden may not be completely lifted. But if you intensely do the Katha, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, Bhagavatam says, Tivra. Tivra means intense. The higher the intensity, the quicker the offloading, the quicker the full realization of bliss. But the reality is, Pratipadam Ananda Ambudhi Vardhanam. At every step, there is no step where there is no bliss. Even the seemingly unblissful situation is having the effect of producing internal bliss. It's being manifest internally. Does that make sense, Prabhu? Yes. And the greatest condition is surrender. Prabhu, yes, Prabhu. Yes.
To repeat?
Yeah, so yes. Vishwambhara Prabhu is saying, it helps me to repeat, purifies me. So Vishwambhara Prabhu is saying that Su Sukham Kartum Avyayam. Prabhupada in the purport says that one immediately experiences bliss. As soon as
we adopt devotional service.
Correct.
And it starts with Shravanam Kirtana.
Yes.
It's there in the purport, you know.
Yes. Thank you for sharing.
That's the evidence. As soon as you start, immediately you taste the bliss.
Su Sukham Kartum.
You don't have to wait for the senior devotee to, you know, like Yadubar Prabhu to go in ecstasy.
He's drowning in bliss. We're trying to chase the bliss.
If there was no taste, you know, he wouldn't be here.
He's absolutely.
Listening classes for 50 years. It means there must be something.
Srila Prabhupada directly asked him, are you having some attraction for our association? These were the exact words. And Prabhupada immediately said, yes, I am feeling attracted to the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Yes, Prabhu, you want to say something? Yadubar Prabhu wants to say something.
Thank you for the wonderful class. You're such a scholar. So filled with verses, appropriate verses. Thank you so much. But as far as hearing goes, I had an experience transferring all of Prabhupada's lectures shot on black and white video. I think you've all seen those lectures. There were about 20 or 21 lectures that I had to transfer in one weekend. So I listened, I was in the vicinity of this, that sound vibration for one weekend, and after that I felt completely purified, although I wasn't listening intently all the time. And I remember also in India, Prabhupada would have us listen to his classes in Hindi and Bengali. We asked him, should we come to class? He said, yes, you come and sit and just listen. So even that is purifying. So it's not the language, it's the pure sound vibration from the pure devotee that has effect, great potency. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you all. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.